The Agony and the Ecstasy. That is the title of a book by Irving Stone on the life of Michelangelo. It struck me that maybe that could also be the title of our gospel passage today. Today's reading is a difficult one. I guess not as difficult as painting the Sistine Chapel, but a difficult one nonetheless in a couple of ways. For one thing, it's not always easy to understand some of the parts of it. And for another thing, it's not easy, indeed it's difficult, to apply some of the teaching that Jesus gives there, because there are indeed some very demanding challenges. By way of introduction, let me say that in reading the Bible, it's always important to see a passage in its broader context in order to be able to interpret and understand it correctly. And so, what is the context of this passage from Matthew chapter 10? If you look at the beginning of the chapter, you will see that it begins there with a list of the 12 disciples. And it then tells of how Jesus sends out these disciples to proclaim the gospel, to bring the love of God to people in word and in deed. And so it's a passage about Jesus' followers being involved in service and mission and proclamation in the world. And so the context of this passage for us too is about serving Jesus and fulfilling his mission in the world. If my discipleship is just a cozy relationship between Jesus and me and nothing more than that, I'm unlikely to experience any of the challenges that Jesus mentions there. But if I'm serious about my discipleship and my mission in the world, there is a good chance that I will experience some of the things that Jesus talks about. What are those things? The first one is in verses 24 and 25. Jesus says, in effect, that a disciple should expect some of the same treatment as the leader that she or he is following. The servant shouldn't expect things to be easier than they are for the master. The disciple should not expect an easier time than the teacher. My late dad was an avid fisherman, and from a young age I wanted to follow in his fishing footsteps. It seemed like a lot of fun to catch fish, to bring them home, and to eat them as a family in a meal together. But I soon discovered that if I was going to follow in his footsteps, I had to do some of the same things that he did, and those weren't always fun or easy. Things like getting up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning to set out on an expedition, maybe walking long distances to get to the best fishing spots, or getting wet while fishing from the rocks at the coast. And in a far bigger and deeper way, of course, the same is true when we become fishers of men and women for Jesus. Jesus says, they called me all sorts of nasty things, and you as my disciples shouldn't expect anything less. He experienced misunderstanding and opposition, and we shouldn't be surprised if something similar happens to us. Like the fishing, it may bring times of discomfort and disappointment, and it will require perseverance and stamina. Jesus warns too that persecution may lead to physical suffering and even to death. And we know that ultimately that was the case with almost all of those disciples. But rather that, says Jesus, than retaining your physical life and in the process losing your soul. Do not fear those who can kill the body, he says, but cannot kill the soul. Linked to this is one of the most challenging statements of Jesus. Those who try to gain their own life, he says, will lose it. But those who lose their life for my sake will find it. These words of Jesus appear 6 times in the 4 Gospels, more than any other statement that Jesus ever uttered. Eugene Peterson's Message translation puts it like this: if your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me, says Jesus. Jim Elliot, a missionary to Ecuador in the 1950s, wrote these words: he or she is no fool who gives what they cannot keep in order to gain what they cannot lose. She is no fool who gives what they cannot keep in order to gain what they cannot lose. Those words became true in a tragic way for Jim Elliot himself when he and a colleague were murdered by a tribe that they had reached out to in the jungles of Ecuador. Let us give what we cannot keep, our life, our existence here on earth, in order to gain what we cannot lose, eternal life with Christ, both on this earth and in the world to come. And that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But how difficult it is for us as humans, as physical beings, how difficult it is sometimes to see the picture, bigger picture, isn't it? To take the longer view of things. How hard it is sometimes to make sacrifices in the present in order to gain longer term benefits. How difficult sometimes to endure the agony that we may experience in due course, the ecstasy. But that's what Christian discipleship is sometimes about. Jesus speaks about denying ourselves and taking up our cross as we follow him. Taking up our cross means taking up a difficult task or embarking on a difficult road, as Jesus did in taking up his cross. It's about doing something that may be difficult, but which we sense is God's will and purpose for us. Hebrews 12 says of Jesus, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. And now he is seated at the Father's right hand in glory." The agony of the cross for the sake of the ecstasy beyond it. Jesus says that some of those challenges and sacrifices may come within our own family circle. He speaks about tensions and opposition that may arise from those closest to us. Jesus is not saying that his way is intended to cause division. Jesus was always speaking about and working for peace. But he is warning that the effect of following him may bring conflict, including within our family circle. But that conflict should not be initiated by his followers, but rather by others in their response to him and to his followers. And if it does occur, how very painful that can be. to experience the rejection of mother or father, of brother or sister, of child, because of one's decision to follow Jesus. But ultimately, all other loyalties must give way to our prime allegiance and loyalty to Jesus Christ, regardless of the consequences. Obviously, we must love and honor our family, but our love and our allegiance to Jesus must come first. John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, felt this tension very deeply when he was imprisoned for his faith. It resulted in him leaving his wife and children to fend on their own, one of those children being blind. He wrote, "I felt like a man pulling his house down upon the head of his wife and children, yet thought I must do it. I must do it." His allegiance to Jesus and to the gospel meant a sacrifice for him and indeed for his family. Now, all of this seems rather inappropriate on Father's Day, doesn't it? And yet, that's not entirely true. For one thing, there are those whose relationship with their father was indeed one which included conflict and pain rather than of care and support. But mainly, this passage is appropriate on this day as it reminds us of the truest and best of all fathers, our Heavenly Father. Jesus says there, "Do not fear when these things happen, because you have a Heavenly Father who cares for you more than you know." Think of the sparrows, says Jesus. They are so plentiful, yet your Heavenly Father cares about every single one of them. Not one of them falls to the ground without his knowledge. If he cares that much about the sparrows, how much more will he not care for you? John Chrysostom was the leader of the church in Constantinople when the church was undergoing severe persecution from the Romans. The Roman Emperor had John arrested and charged for being a Christian. If Chrysostom did not renounce Christ, then the emperor said he would have him banished from the kingdom. Chrysostom responded by saying, "You could never do that, because the whole world is my Father's kingdom." And then, threatened with the loss of his worldly treasures, this saint of old replied, "You cannot do that, for my treasure is in heaven, where my heart is." "Then," replied the emperor, "I will take away your life." To which he replied, "You cannot do that, for my life is hidden with Christ in God." Jesus says, "Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven." Those who love their life will lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake will find it. So let us give that which we cannot keep in order to gain that which we can never lose. Let us be faithful through the times of difficulty and agony, that we may ultimately experience the ecstasy of relationship with God through Jesus, and a place at his celebratory feast in the kingdom of heaven. Amen.